In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Abraham replied, "They are Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." A few years back, in San Antonio, a businessman, after parking his brand new car on the street, went off to do some business. When he came back to his car, he saw a poor boy of about 11 years old in ragged clothes, examining it with eyes full of wonder and envy. "Is that your car?" the boy asked the man. The man replied, "Yes, it is beautiful. How much you pay for it?" "Well, to be honest," the man answered, "I don't know. It was given to me as a present by my brother." "You mean your brother just gave it to you and it didn't cost you a penny?" the boy asks. "That's right," the man nodded. "Oh boy, I wish that I," the man was sure the boy was going to say, "I wish that I had a brother like that." But it isn't what the boy said. What he said was, "I wish that I could be a brother like that." And the man concluded, "There I was in my fancy suit with keys of a brand new car in my hand, and there was this little boy off the streets. Yet this impoverished kid had more love in his heart than I had. He was richer than I was." Wealth and well-being are states of one's mind. I remember my first meeting with Reverend Julius Jackson. He was a member of our deanery clericus when I first came to the diocese. He made an impression on me in the way he responded to me when I asked him, "How are you?" He said, "I'm blessed." I thought that was pretty peculiar. Later, I found that that's how he always responds to people when he is asked. He responded the same way when I saw him at a time when he was going through a very rough time in his life. He said, "I am blessed." What a beautiful way to say how we are and how we feel. We are blessed. We are all blessed. Like that poor boy in San Antonio who wished he could be a generous brother, or like the Reverend Jackson of our diocese, who even in times of difficulty saw many blessings. For any casual reader, these lessons we read from the Bible appear to be a rather severe indictment against the rich or being rich. However, as I thought more on the colorful and dramatic parable of the rich man Lazarus from Luke, and on the prophet's fulmination against the lavish lifestyle of the social elite in the book of Amos, and on Paul's advice to young Timothy to be content with basic necessities of food and clothing and to shun the thought of becoming rich, I became convinced that these readings are not really against rich people or being rich, but rather they are against how some rich folks allow their wealth to disconnect them from society. Abraham, for instance, the father of the faithful, was a rich man, and so were all other patriarchs. David, the King David, remember, he was very rich and God loved him. So was Job. So it was not the money or the wealth of the rich man, but it was the rich man that in the parable made him in the hell was not his wealth or his money. This rich man in the parable was so preoccupied with himself. His self-absorbed life of living in wealth and in luxury blinded him from seeing Lazarus, who was lying at his gate day after day in misery and agony. The gated compound he lived in kept him from seeing how the poor and the less fortunate lived in his neighborhood. He intentionally kept himself in the dark about the suffering that surrounded him so that he could enjoy his lavish and ostentatious lifestyle without feeling guilty. His lack of awareness of the wretched conditions of the poor in the neighborhood, in his neighborhood, also caused lack of appreciation of his own comfortable and luxurious state of being. The rich man in our story was completely unaware of his own blessings. Now, parables have a tendency to invite us, the hearers, to identify with one of the characters in the story. So, how are we represented in this story? Are we represented by the poor man Lazarus lying in misery at the gate, or are we represented by the rich man living in opulence? Across Christendom today, this parable will be preached. The same parable is preached in storefront churches of our inner cities, and also in the beautiful churches of our rich suburbs. The same parable is preached in the favelas of Brazilian slums, as well as in the magnificent cathedrals of London, Stockholm, and New York. I'm sure, depending on the hearers of the parable, this parable will find its target. But how about for us who are sitting here in this church at this time? Who do we identify with? I would like us to imagine ourselves to be the rich man's brothers and sisters, that though we have the law and the prophets, yet God saw fit also to send a man from the dead to awaken us. We have something more than the brothers and sisters of the rich man, and that is the grace of God in Jesus Christ. We are blessed. We are indeed blessed. Are we aware of our own blessings? Are we aware of the grace of God we experience in our life? Can we all say, like John Bradford, "There, but by the grace of God, go I." When we realize how blessed we are, we become grateful to God, the giver of all that we have and the maker of all that we are. Acknowledging God for all that we are and have is how we show our gratitude to God. But gratitude is an attitude. Only one of the 10 lepers who were healed by Jesus went back to him to thank him for his healing. In our parable, we do not see how the rich man was grateful to God for what he had. Not seeing and appreciating the good things he was enjoying and not acknowledging God for his good life also prevented him from seeing the miseries of the suffering humanity just outside the wall. If the rich man was grateful to God, he would have recognized the misery of Lazarus at the gate, and that would have made him generous to him. That would have made him to feed Lazarus, clothe Lazarus, house him, and find medical care for him. gratitude would lead one to be generous to those who are suffering. My friends, unlike the brothers and sisters of the rich man, we, the church folks, have an additional benefit of the teachings of Jesus, the dead man who came back to life. Today, let us ask ourselves the question, am I blessed? Am I grateful? Am I generous? In a few days, you will be receiving in the mail a letter and a pledge card from the stewardship committee. Before you write down the amount you want to pledge to the church for this coming year, I invite all of us to take a little time to sit down and meditate on how God has blessed me. How grateful am I to God? How can I show my gratitude to God in being generous in my giving to church, which is engaged in God's mission of caring for the Lazaruses at our gate and in our neighborhood?